So this coming Shabbos is not the regular parasha of Shavua because it's Shabbos Chol HaMoed. So it's a special Shabbos Chol HaMoed leaning. So we're going to start with a thought on Pesach. An important Pesach thought. And we're going to start with Sefer Yechezkel, the book of Ezekiel, where the prophet Yechezkel is speaking to the leaders of the Jewish people of his time, and basically going through different periods of Jewish history where the Jewish people fell short of where they should be. And he says like this, a very interesting prophecy, or actually saying over a very interesting prophecy that already had occurred. So I'm going to read it in English. Thus says the Lord Hashem Elohim, on the day I chose Israel, I raised my hand in oath for the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I raised my hand for them, saying, I am Hashem your God. On that day I raised my hand for them, swearing to take them out from the land of Egypt, to the land that I had sought out for them, a land that flows with milk and honey, a splendor for all the lands. And I said to them, every man, cast away the detestable idols of his eyes. Do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Hashem your God. The prophet Yechezkel is saying that a message was given to the Jewish people in Egypt. A message that said, cast away your idols and don't defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. The Mefarshim from the commentary say that this was actually a message delivered to the Jewish people by Aaron. Before Moshe came on the scene, and Aaron was the prophet for the Jewish people, the leader for the Jewish people, he was the one given this prophecy to deliver to the Jewish people. But as the prophet Yechezkel continues, but they rebelled against me, and did not want to listen to me. No man of them cast away the detestable idols of their eyes, and they did not forsake the idols of Egypt. So I had thought to pour out my wrath upon them, to spend my anger on them in the midst of the land of Egypt. The Rebbe Shlomo is saying there was a point that he was ready to destroy the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it not be desecrated in the eyes of the nations in whose midst they were, before whose eyes I made myself known to them, promising to take them out of the land of Egypt. And then Hashem says, why didn't I destroy them? For the sake of my name. For the sake that my name shouldn't be desecrated. If Hashem would have killed the Jewish people in Egypt, then the Egyptians again would have looked at it as Hashem's inability to fulfill the promise given to their ancestors. And therefore, similar to what we find by the after the sin of the golden calf. But this is already going on while in Egypt. So when you read this prophecy, the prophecy seems to say the Jewish people should have been destroyed while in Egypt because they would not give up their idols. But Hashem said, I'm not going to do it because if I would do it, it would be a desecration of my name. That's what the prophet seems to say pretty clearly. So the question is that this does not seem to fit in with what we see in the book of Shemos, the beginning of Parsha Shemos, when Hashem appears to Moshe in the burning bush. There we find, okay, for this you can open up your Chumash and go to Parasha Shemos and take a look on page 302. Okay. Page 302. Okay, page 302, Pasuk Zayin, three lines from the top. This is again, Hashem has appeared to Moshe in the burning bush. Vayemer Hashem, and Hashem said, Ro'oi ro'isi es ani ami Hashem b'Mitzrayim. I have seen the affliction of my nation in Egypt, the sa'akosam shamat ripnei noiksav, and their cries I have heard because of their taskmasters. Ki yodati es lachayvav, for I know their pains. V'ered latziloi miyad Mitzrayim, I will go down to save him from Egypt. U'lahaloisim in aretz hazois, and to bring them up from this land, el eretz taibu urachava, to a land that's good and open, el eretz zavas chala v'devash, to a land flowing with milk and honey, el mekom haknani v'hachiti v'meri v'aprizi v'achivi v'ayvusi, to the place of these nations. V'atah now, hinei tzakas b'nei Yisrael bo'o eloi, behold, the cries of the Jewish people have come to me, v'gam re'isi ha'salachetz, and I have seen the affliction, the oppression, asher Mitzrayim lechatzim oisam, that Egypt is oppressing them. Now, this message doesn't sound like that. This message doesn't sound like what the prophet Yechezkel says. This message, when you read it, sounds like the time has come that Hashem says, I've heard their cries, I've seen their pain and their suffering, and now it's time to rescue them from that. It doesn't sound like, you know, you really don't deserve to be redeemed, but I have to do it for my name's sake. It sounds more like Hashem is having mercy on the Jewish people. So how do we make these two things come together? So Rabbi Moshe Eisman of the Yeshiva Ner Yisrael in Baltimore says that the answer to this question is actually in the writings of the Ramban. The writings of the Ramban, not in Parsha Shmois, but the Ramban in Parshas Hazinu, at the end of the Book of Devarim, where the Ramban explains a pasuk in Hazinu that really gives us the answer to this contradiction and gives us a very, very important outlook on who the Jewish people are and our relationship with Hashem. So the pasuk in Parshas Hazinu reads like this. Pasuk reads, Amarti, this is Devarim, Parshas Hazinu. If you want to follow it inside, you take a look. This is way towards the end of the Chumash. And it's actually page 1104. 1104. It's the last two lines on the page. Last two words on the page, rather. 1104. Amarti af ehem. This is Hashem speaking. I said, I will scatter them. Ashpisa me'enosh zichram. I will cause their memory to cease from man. Wule kas oyev agur, were it not that the anger of the enemy was pent up, penyinakru tsereimai, lest his tormentors misinterpret, penyoimru, lest they say, yodeinu rama, our hand was raised in triumph, v'loi Hashem pa'al kol zois, and it was not Hashem who accomplished all of this. Very similar to what we find in the book of Yechezkel, in which Hashem says that I decided the Jewish people, their memory should cease from man, but if we're not for the fact that the enemy is going to say, we're the ones who did it, we're the ones who are triumphant, it's not Hashem who did it, if not for that, I would make the memory be forgotten. So the Ramban, Nachmanides, gives a very important explanation here. So first he says that we're dealing here with a situation where the Jewish people are in Golus, they're in exile, and really the pasuk that says, I will make the memory cease from man, means that they should remain in exile forever. Basically scattered amongst other nations, not really recognized, not really having their own standing. That's what should happen. They should be remaining in exile forever, if not for the enemy. And the Ramban says, this is referring to, he says, our exile, in which Zechus Avais, the merits of the fathers, is gone. Okay? Ve'elonu atzala miyad ha'amim, and the only way that we can be saved from the nations, and again, this is talking about a situation, as the Psukim have been leading up to, that the Jewish people are guilty of idol worship. The Jewish people are sinful now. It's when that happens, when the Jewish people are forsaking Hashem and worshiping idols, that is where Hashem is saying, if not for the enemy, I would have their memory cease to be they have their memory cease. So the point is, though, Hashem says, I'm not going to do it because of my name. So now the question is like this. You know, whatever it says that Hashem says, I'm doing it for my name, what does that mean? Hashem has to impress someone? Hashem has to impress the nations of the world? The Ramban says, the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't have to. The point here is not to show his power amongst his enemies. All the nations of the world are nothing to Hashem. He doesn't need to impress them. He doesn't need to go ahead and show them up. But with the meaning, whenever we find this idea that Hashem says, I'm doing it for the sake of my name, the Rebbeinu Shem created man below, that he should recognize his creator, and give thanks to his name. And he gave man the ability to choose between good and bad. And when people willingly sinned, the kafru by kulam, and everybody denied Hashem's existence, only this nation remained for his name. Meaning, what's happening here is that if you look at the history of the world, where Hashem created the world and he gave many generations their chance to be able to serve him, it came to a point that basically everyone forsook God, besides, he says, for this nation. Now what he's referring to here, when he says that when everybody forsook God, only this nation recognized him or still served him, that starts with Avraham. And that continues with Yitzchak and with Yaakov and his sons. It continues when the Jewish people first came to Egypt. When everybody else was worshiping idols and not recognizing Hashem, the ones who continued to recognize Hashem, the only ones who continued recognizing Hashem, were Avraham and his descendants. Ufirsem bahem ba'isais ivamaypsim, and he publicized through them with signs and wonders, that he is the Lord of all lords and the master of all masters. And this was made known to all nations. Meaning, Hashem chose that when he was going to reveal himself to the world, referring to the miracles of the Exodus from Egypt, referring to the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when he decided to make the world recognize him, it was through the Jewish people that he did that. It was in them that he performed those miracles to make the world know that he does exist. He chose them to be the means of him doing that. He publicized himself. He made himself known through them because they were the ones who were the only ones who actually remained faithful to him. If now it comes out that Hashem decides to destroy their memory, the nations will now forget his signs and his wonders, umaisav and his actions. No one's going to talk about it anymore. And if somebody talks about it, oh yeah, you remember? You know, I heard it once about those miracles. They're not going to attribute it to Hashem. They're going to attribute it again to a star, to some kind of a power. The Chalav Abar, and then it's all going to be forgotten. V'hinei tia kavana sabriya ba'adam b'tel lagamri. And if that happens, then the whole point of why Hashem created man is going to be lost. Shlo yeshoyer b'hem yodei as b'yrei rak mechesim lefanav. Who's going to be left? Who's going to be left to serve Hashem? Va'al kein roi midin harotzin shoyer b'briya sa'ilam. And therefore, it is fitting that for the same reason there was a desire for creating the world, that for that same reason, for the same reason why Hashem created the world, that's the reason why Hashem should want to continue allowing the Jewish people to exist, even when they're not worthy of it. For they are the closest to him, and recognize him amongst all nations. So what the Ramban is saying is, and again, we have to understand, the context of the Ramban is a context, even when the Jewish people are sinning, even when the Jewish people are worthy of being destroyed. But the point is that the purpose of creation was for the world to recognize Hashem. And the people who have been Hashem's most loyal, not say they've been perfect, not perfect, but the ones who have been most loyal have been the Jewish people. They were the most loyal in the sense when everybody first was forgetting about, was denying God's existence. Avram and his descendants continued to believe in Hashem. Because of that, he publicized his existence and his power and his greatness through them. And therefore, number one, says the Ramban, if the Jewish people are destroyed, there'll be that people that it happened to won't be around anymore. And therefore, all the miracles of Mitzrayim will be forgotten. And as the Ramban also seems to be saying, Hashem now, if Hashem wants the purpose of the world to continue, then he wants the Jewish people to exist even when they're not worthy, because they are still the closest to him. Meaning the ones who have the biggest potential. True. The ones who have the biggest potential to be able for Hashem to straighten them out and again be the ones to serve him are the Jewish people. And that started again with Avraham. So says then the Rabban continues, V'zeh tam, and this is the explanation, Ki yodin Hashem amoy v'alavodav yisnacham. The Pasuk says, when Hashem will avenge for his people, and on his servants he shall relent. Sheyaskol lehem barachamim. He will remember for them with mercy, Kiyam Amay Meyaz, that they have been his nation from always. They've always been his nation. The Yiskar Kiyam Avadav Sha'omduloy Begolusam Ka'avadim Lisbalatsaras Vashibud. And he will also remember how they were his servants, that even in their exile, they served him and they tolerated the tsaris, the suffering and the enslavement. But again, we got to remember that this is all talking about even when the Jewish people are not worthy. When Hashem is saying, really, I should destroy them. But knowing that the purpose of the world was to recognize Hashem, and knowing that that recognition of Hashem can only come truly through the Jewish people, number one, based on their past, based on what they showed previously, and based also how, as Ramban says, that even in the Golas, in the exile, they have showed such loyalty.
Some potential.
Because of that, exactly. Because of that, even when they are sinning, Hashem says, I'm going to keep them as my people. I'm going to have to do things to make them worthy. I'm going to have to do something to make them do tshuva, to repent, to atone for them, to make them worthy. But the reason I'm doing it for them is because of the fact that they are the ones, as you say, show the most potential based on their past, meaning what happened before Yetzias Mitzrayim, based on what's happened throughout the Golas all the years. And as the Ramban says, Sheyasko lehem barachamim came amay me'oz. He will remember them with mercy that they're his nation. There's going to be that when Hashem says, when Hashem looks at the Jewish people and it says, Ashbisem enesh zichram, I should have their memory be lost, if not for the honor of my name. When that happens, when Hashem knows, so to speak, that the purpose of the world can only continue through the Jewish people, he remembers them with mercy. Because at the same time that he realized that he, so to speak, is saying, I can't, the purpose of the world won't continue without them, he also realizes why. Why is it them? Why is it them? Why are they the ones? If they're the ones because of the loyalty that they have shown. So even though now they're not doing too well at all, but they have shown what they can do. And therefore, if there's anyone that has the potential to be able to continue making Hashem's name recognized in the world, it's the Jewish people. And that answers the contradiction. When Yechezkel Hashem says that the Jewish people were not accepting the message that they should forsake idols, but they didn't do it. So I consider destroying them in Egypt. But I didn't do that because of the honor of my name. Means to say, if the Jewish people are going to be gone, then there's not going to be, the purpose of the world cannot be fulfilled. It can't be fulfilled. And therefore, I'm going to keep them around because I understand who they really are. Deep down, I know who they are. Deep down, they're Abraham's descendants. Deep down, when no one else was loyal, they were loyal. And that went on for generations. And that even continued on in later generations. It continued, even in Galus, even in exile. There was a certain dedication and loyalty that they showed more than anyone else. And therefore, even when they stumble, and they don't deserve to be able to continue existing, Hashem says, no, if I want the purpose of creation to be fulfilled, it's going to be through them, because they are the ones who have always showed their dedication. They're the ones who have showed their dedication when no one else did. They're the ones that always show their dedication during the hardest times.
The potential.
Right. And therefore, by the burning bush, Hashem says to Moshe, I heard their cries. Hashem talks in merciful. Because when the decision comes that the Jewish people have to continue for Hashem's aim to be recognized in the world, Hashem at the same time recognizes, and why is it through them? It's through them because of what they've shown. Mm-hmm. So what the Rabbeinu Shalom showed us in Mitzrayim was something very important. Was something very, 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 very important. You know, Rabbi Eisman writes that when the Jewish people, you know, he suggests that when the Jewish people heard Hashem, Moshe delivered a message, and the message was Bnei Bechere Yisrael. Yisrael is my son, my firstborn. So he suggests that they kind of bristled, got a little nervous. Us, looking at what we are now, we're Bnei Bechere Yisrael. But the point was that Hashem was trying to tell the Jewish people, yeah, Bnei Bechere Yisrael. You don't realize that I know you better than yourselves. I know what you have deep down. And therefore, when Hashem brought his miracles, he gave the Jewish people a strong dose of emunah, gave them a strong dose of being able to recognize him, because they were the ones who needed to be elevated. And during the time when they were in Mitzrayim, Hashem gave them the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, the mitzvah of Milah. These were mitzvahs that weren't easy for the Jewish people to do. They weren't easy to do, even after all the miracles that they saw. It wasn't easy for them to take the Egyptian deity and to drag them and tie them to a bed in front of everyone and then to slaughter them. It wasn't easy to do a bris milah. They were scared. It wasn't easy for them to do. But all this was a way of actually bringing out their merits and showing the Jewish people that Hashem wants, this is the people Hashem wants. Hashem wants you. Hashem wants us because of who deep down we really are. That's the idea that we say very often about what we call a pintaliyid. There's always a spark within a person. There's always a spark within. Because the Jewish neshama is unique in the sense that it may have layers and layers of filth and dirt that comes from sin. But the neshama itself stays pristine, and it has always the ability to come back. And that's what Hashem was showing the Jewish people. As much as you have sunk, as bad as if you may be right now, to the point that really you don't have a merit to exist, but I still know who you are. I still know what your potential is. You're the ones who can keep the purpose of creation going. And therefore, it is for you. Therefore, I will now do these miracles for you to bring you up, to make you worthy of being my nation to exist. So the two things aren't a contradiction. At the end of the day, if we're not worthy, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants to do for the honor of his name means in order for the purpose of creation to be able to continue. But when that happens, he makes us worthy to do that because he remembers that we have been the most loyal, the most dedicated. And that arouses mercy. And therefore, Hashem, when Hashem goes ahead and Hashem relents, when, as the pasuk says, when Hashem avenges the honor of the Jewish people, when Hashem is going to take out the Jewish people, redeem the Jewish people, it's done with mercy. It's done because it needs to be done, but it's done with mercy because Hashem remembers why are they the ones that are being chosen for that. When I spoke about this recently, so I shared a story that my father used to always tell us, which again shows us this whole idea of how even when a person can seemingly be so sunken in what seems to be the depths of sin, that there's still that Yiddish spark in him. And it's really not just an individual story. It's really it's a sign of the Jewish people. So my father said that when he was during the war, when he was in Vilna, so, you know, basically, you know, people who wanted to, let's say, leave Vilna and travel through Russia to eventually, you know, get out, if they were Russian citizens, it wasn't going to work. And a lot of them had false passports. My father had an American visa because his father was in America. But there are many people who had false passports. And the person who worked for the NKVD, the Russian secret police at that time in Vilna, to be able to find people with false passports was a Jew. And his name was Schlossberg. And everybody knew that, you know, he was the guy to be careful for. And if he probably rose to the ranks in the NKVD to get a job like that, you know, I can't imagine he was too observant. At the same time, my father used to tell us two stories about him. One story was that one time he came knocking at the apartment where my grandmother was, and he told her, you know, in Vilna there were a number of yeshivas that came to Vilna during the war to be able to escape. And one of the yeshivas was a Lubavitch yeshiva. It was a group of students from Lubavitch yeshiva. And Schlossberg came over to my grandmother and he said, go to the Lubavitch and tell them that we know. And we know they all have false passports. And he was giving them warning. My grandmother went and they all left. They all scattered. Okay, this was the person who was supposed to be catching these people, and he went into that. And then the other story my father used to say was that one of his teachers that he had in Yeshiva University was Rav Meisha Shatzkis. He was the Lomzhe Rav. He was the love of the city of Lomzhe. Came to America. He was one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Yeshiva University, and so my father knew him. They knew each other. I don't know if they knew each other, but you know. So my father used to say that in yeshiva, the relationship was, you know, teacher-student. But in the summer, my father was his waiter in the hotel where he stayed. And they used to trade stories. That's when the relationship was much easier, comfortable. They would talk. And Rav Shatzkis told him that he had a false passport. And you know, for him to be able to travel, you know, he had to go and get his visa, whatever it was. And his biggest worry was this Schlossberg, because, you know, Schlossberg knew Schlossberg knew who he was, apparently. And if he were to be the one to catch him with a passport, he'd be, you know, instead of going to wherever he was going, he'd get a trip to Siberia. Mm-hmm. Well, he came to the office, wherever it was, he was to get his, you know, his visa or whatever it was he needed to travel. He gives his passport to the secretary. Secretary tells him, wait 1 minute.
Uh-oh.
Secretary goes to the back. Who comes out from the office? Schlossberg, holding the passport. So Rashatska said he thought it was all over. And Schlossberg walked over to him and said, in Yiddish, Lom Zharov, Fart Gesundheit. He handed him the passport and he said, Lom Zharov, have a safe trip. My father said that he always said Yisker for him. He always had in mind when he said Yisker, he had this man in mind. You know, there are many stories like this. And these stories show the true essence of what the Jewish people are, and that's what Hashem was telling the Jewish people. He was telling them that that what he's doing here for them, the reason he's redeeming them is because of who they really are. Wanted to add one more thought about this, and that is that the Ramban seems to be saying that there are two reasons as to why, you know, the Rebbe Shalom wants to keep the Jewish people in existence. When he first starts explaining, he explains that he chose the Jewish people to bring out miracles through them, and if they would be destroyed, there would be no one around, you know, to remember the miracle by. When those people are around, you know, then you remember. Then that's really something that makes people have to, you know, recognize what had happened. So when I was, and that was one thing. So it seems like there's a history there. There's a history the Jewish people carry. And secondly, he says also the fact that they have always been the ones closest, the ones always showing the greatest loyalty, and they are the ones who will continue bringing out the honor to his name. So I was thinking about this first idea, which is the idea that Hashem did miracles through the Jewish people, and were they to be destroyed, those miracles would be forgotten, because it was through the miracles of Mitzrayim that Hashem did to the Jewish people that all the nations of the world were given a chance to recognize the greatness of Hashem. So I was thinking like this. So before Pesach, I was in the bank, right? So, you know, the tellers always try to be friendly. And, you know, there's one teller who always says, says, "Hello, Rabbi, how are you?" And there's one teller who, like, you know, is looking at me and says to me, "You work in a church?"
"You what?"
"You work in a church?"
"Oh."
It was on the tip of my tongue to say, "Lady, I don't work in a church." I said, "In a synagogue." And she kind of looks at me and, like, you know, stumbles over the word synagogue and whatever.
Over
whatever. Okay. "So you work on Sunday?" So the other teller says, "The rabbi works every day." Okay. Clearly there are people who are clueless. They don't have the experience, you know. They don't have the exposure. They don't have it.
They
clearly
don't study any history.
Clearly they don't have the exposure, right? So like I'm saying to myself when I'm reading this Ramban, right? So, you know, this idea that, you know, that our existence and the miracles that have happened through us, that Hashem showed through us, that if we cease to exist, they'll all be forgotten. Seems to be a lot of people who are completely clueless of anything about us, of our history, anything about us.
Absolutely correct.
But I think the answer is to this, is that Yetzias Mitzrayim was one example. Meaning, not everybody's going to recognize this, that's for sure. But there have been plenty of people who have studied history and look at the Jewish people and say that they're a miracle. I can't remember the name, but there's a famous story of a king, and the king had a philosopher, had a advisor, and the king said to the advisor, "Prove to me that God exists." And what did he answer?
The Jewish people.
I mean, throughout history, and you still find historians, more contemporary historians that have written that. There are those who haven't. I'm not saying that.
Napoleon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not saying that everybody recognized that. Not plenty of them don't recognize it. But throughout generations, there will always be those who will recognize, who will study the history of the world and study the history of the Jewish people, and will recognize and see there's something going on here. And if Hashem wouldn't continue out, if we wouldn't exist, that wouldn't be happening. That wouldn't be happening. So therefore, and both of these ideas continue. The Ramban says at the end, he says that he's going to remember that they were his servants who stood for him, who were dedicated to him in their exile. He's talking about in the exile. In the exile, they continued being loyal. And that is something that's something that's always been. But what I'm trying to bring out is that you have both in all generations. You'll have the dedication, in which Hashem says, "I've seen your dedication, so I know I can always rely on you, or I can always bring you back to me, because you have that within you." And the idea also of a history of the way Hashem has revealed himself to the world through our history, that still continues. And that's also part of that still continues. So both facets continue of how the existence of the Jewish people continues the recognition of Hashem's name in the world, which is the purpose of creation. Yeah.
I heard a point about this.